Good morning, everybody. Hello. We're on the second of our talks for summer camp, and you can see, if you've got one of those little notes there, booklets, you can see my notes there. We're going to be thinking again about Acts chapter 2. There's a sort of a prayer in Romans, Paul's letter to the Romans. Just one verse I'd like to read out because it helps pick up our theme. And we probably will emphasise it a little bit over the week. But the theme is really the spirit of hope. And the theme for this week is that it's a spirit of hope not only for humanity, but for the whole of the creation. So Paul writes in this letter, he says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope." So he's asking the God of hope to fill his people that he's writing to there with joy and peace in actually believing. Believing gives you a great joy and peace. It brings that to you. And then by the power of the Spirit within you, your life abounds. It's a kangaroo kind of a word, you know, abounding in hope. And that's something that I hope is happening to you as we gather this week, is your hope is being renewed and strengthened. My topic is God's plan, and then it's God's plan of creation, his plan of redemption, and his plan of glory. And there's those three aspects. And really it's to point out that God's very purposive in everything that he's planned. The verses, two verses that Indy read to us there, simply focus in on something that had just happened in recent time. And now the Spirit had come upon all these people and they were understanding then the centrality of Jesus' crucifixion and of his resurrection. It was that Peter was pointing out the importance, the significance, and the centrality of that in God's plan. And if I ask you, there's a teaching thing called a catechism, which for many centuries people used these catechisms where to try and help get the basics of Christian faith into our hearts, in our minds. If I said to you, and the old saying was man, but it meant man and woman, what is the chief end of man? Say that again. To glorify God and to enjoy him forever. So that's the wonderful plan of God. It's the purpose of God for a human being. That's the chief, that's where we're headed. That's the goal of what it is for a human being. I don't think they ever asked this question, but what's the chief end of God? To glorify himself and humanity and the creation. How about that? So then to glorify is to be the outshining of all the wonderful, substantial thing that God's ever been about. So that's the plan. When I was growing up, I had the great fortune of living for 10 years with my mum and dad in this particular house at my Ponga. And we lived on the property right next to the reservoir. And my dad had about two sheep farmers usually working for him as well as himself. And he milked cows. We had a dairy farm there. And I knew that there was a plan. This was the plan. Get up in the dark, milk the cows, do some stuff in the middle, milk the cows, and go to bed. And get up the next day and do the same. The little bit in the middle was kind of where the exciting bits could happen, as well as, you know, a little bit in the milking. That could be exciting too. But there was always this plan, but it just seemed like it just kind of went on and on. In the exciting little bits in the middle, one mid-morning, my dad took me down to the reservoir and we climbed over the fence next to where it says trespassers prosecuted. We just climbed over there. And we went down and Dad showed me how to put some worms from the manure onto a hook. And we put two hooks on and he showed me how to cast. And I had a cast and I caught two fish. Wow, my first ever, one on each hook. How good was that? Okay, a double header. So right in the middle of this plan, which is set, surprising, wonderful things can happen. And the world in which we live is God brings the sun up in the morning, or if you want to get, you know, we spin around it or whatever. Anyway, looks like he brings the sun up in the east and sets in the west, and it does that every day. And it's a pretty predictable plan. But in the midst of that, there's surprising life going on all the time. And God's great gift to the human race is not just to give us time of life now, but eternal life. That's the plan. How good's that? No, it's all right. Wonderful. So there's the plan. Now, one of the things that also happened to me was that I had a plan as well. And I planned one Sunday when my dad had a sleep in the afternoon. I said, can I have a lend of the Haflinger, which is a little Austrian army jeep, with my brother? And we would go over the hill, and he said, yes, but you need to drive very carefully. And I said, yes, Dad. And then we went over the back and, well, didn't drive very carefully. And I rolled it, the Haflinger. I came round the side of the and rolled down towards the reservoir a couple of times. And my brother held onto the bar in front of him, next to me, and we survived. Whoa. So life is full of, imminent danger. Stuff can happen. We make our plans. Sometimes they're not actually that smart. But God has a plan that's been continuing on over the top of our plans, in the midst of our plans, through what we do. And one of the wonderful secrets of life is to be in step with the Spirit, that is to be involved in the plan of God. And sometimes it takes a lifetime for that to happen. Some people right at the last, towards the end of their life, think, yeah, I've been doing my own thing for pretty much a long time. It's probably time I got ready to join the real plan, you know. So part of our reason for preaching is the same reason here. Peter has a wonderful privilege. He's a fisherman as well, but God's called him to leave his fishing for the time and to do something else, and that is to bring to the good news to the world, really, of the centrality, the central part of Jesus' death and of his resurrection, to help the whole world to know that central part. And so Peter begins to unfold that plan, and he's understood it, like he eventually comes to understand that that is the key central part of what God's been about. So we're looking today at this plan of God, and I think that the Bible says we, the human race, exchange the truth of God and what he's about and his plan for a lie. And so we adopted the lie, and we've had all forms of that lie rather than the truth of knowing God and so on. So when we did that, where our minds became darkened and we lost the view of the wonderful purpose of the creation. And so you might have heard that question that was asked to someone, you know, if they could help to define what ignorance and apathy actually mean. And the reply was, I don't know and I don't care. And that is a little bit about how much people are interested that God has a plan, because they've got their own plan, and for the present time, whatever God's is, I don't know and I don't care. But one of the wonderful things that God does for the human race is, even when that is the case, he continues to come to us and awakens us afresh with grace and forgiveness for adopting that kind of silly outlook, and brings us joyfully and peacefully and repentantly, changes our minds and brings us into the plan of God. When we live now in Australia, and we were told at the last census that our people in Australia have increasingly decided that they don't have any religion, you know, they don't have any faith or belief. So it's kind of heading from about 30% towards 40%. And the people that maybe had Christianity as their centrepiece was sort of in the 60% range, has dropped down to below 49. Can you see where it's heading at the moment? But in the midst of all of that, you and I have a wonderful, joyful task of sharing, joining together with Jesus in what he's doing, which is he is continuing to unfold and carry out the plan of God, and has called us to be involved in it and to share that with the human race. The other day, there was a TV program in which Professor Brian Cox was on the program, and he was saying that the Hubble telescope apparently has shown us that there's about between 100 and 200 million galaxies. And he said, as far as we know, this is the only one, the only planet with any meaning. And fearfully, he said, and if we let this one die and cark it, then the whole of all the galaxies will be meaningless. Meaning that the only way we have any meaning is that we give meaning to this planet by some stroke of luck. Now, I would have liked to have asked Professor Brian Cox if he could come into my study for a few moments while we had a little bit more of a talk about a few things. Because I don't think that he has listened carefully to the God who made the whole of the creation as to what the plan is, and that there is even a plan. Do you remember Stephen Hawking, one of the finest, brightest minds in, you know, as far as his ability to think? He once said, faith is a fairy story for people afraid of the dark. That was his view. And another man who's a scientist, and that someone called that a rhetorical zinger. It's like you fire a shot over the bow of people, believers and that, and you stir them up a bit. Well, another very bright man by the name of John Lennox, he's also a mathematician, has a scientific mind, he's a professor of maths, he's been at Oxford University, and he doesn't mind a little bit of pushback with things like that. He said, yeah, well, he said that may be, but he said atheism is a fairy story for people afraid of the light. One all. Yeah. So we can push that, you know, back and forward, but the thing I want to say is it takes a tad of courage to push back and say, actually, nah, we know something different. Jesus came into the world. Well, the world began when he, the co-creator of the world, the Father and Son together, when they said, "Let there be light," and there was light. When Jesus is born, the God of heaven comes to earth, and here he is, the eternal Son, and he says of himself, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me, you'll never walk in darkness, but you'll have the light of life." So this is the importance that Jesus comes and he speaks the truth into a world of darkness, and that light shines in the darkness, and the darkness, for a start, doesn't understand it, but it never overcomes it either. So this is the plan, is to make this known. Now, what happened on the day of Pentecost is the Spirit came upon a heap of people, and they understood the wonderful works of God. They saw what the plan of God was, and they started to share with others this wonderful matter that had taken place. And that same Spirit is coming upon God's people today, awakening us, renewing us to see what is the plan of God. The plan is that God creates the world with a view to glorifying the world, and in the present time, he renews and regenerates humanity, and he regenerates the creation. Not long after this, as they start to share the gospel, just want you to flick over if you're looking in your Bible or listen, doesn't matter. But in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John, they're going up to the temple to pray. They've got Jesus bursting in their hearts. His resurrection power is affecting them. It's the main thing they can think of, really. And there's a chap out there who he can't walk, and he wants some money from them. And Peter, you know, checks his pockets. He said, "Well, I've got no silver and I've got no gold, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And he took him by the hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Jumping up, he stood and began to walk. And he entered the temple walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognised him as the guy who used to sit and ask for alms at the beautiful gate. And they were filled with amazement at what had happened. And then people are quite interested about all of this, and he's clinging on to Peter and John, and all the people ran together. And then Peter saw it. He said to them, here's a moment, he said, "You Israelites," you have to call back later. Oh dear. He always rings me, this guy. Anyway. So back to where we were. So he says, in another speech, he says, "The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our ancestors has glorified his servant Jesus." Jesus has been glorified, and he is doing something right now. You handed him over to be rejected in the presence of Pilate. Everybody knows historically Pilate was the guy in charge at Jesus' crucifixion. And he said, though he decided to release him, "But you rejected this holy one, this righteous one, and you wanted a murderer instead, so you got Barabbas. You killed the author of life. But God has raised him from the dead. And we're all witnesses of this. We're telling you about this resurrection now. And by faith in his name, he's made this man strong." So Jesus, from heaven, is present to us right now. He's done this, and that's why the guy's running around thrilled with life. And it's through faith in this Jesus that he's given him this perfect health in the presence of everyone. And then he goes on to explain a little bit more. Not only has this guy been redeemed, but he says, I know you acted in ignorance, and also the rulers and so on. So when the death of Christ Jesus happened and all that took place, it fulfilled what God had foretold through the prophets. In other words, this is the plan of God. Indy read out to us. This Jesus was crucified. It's part of the definite plan of God. So he's repeating that matter. And then he says, it's, you know, the Messiah was to suffer. But he says, now, change your minds. You've all been thinking along the darkness side. Start to think now with the new light and understanding that comes. Turn, repent therefore, turn to God so that all your sins will be wiped out. Murderers, all forgiven for what you've done to this Jesus. All forgiven, completely wiped out. And that he may send so that times of refreshing, first of all, might come from the presence of the Lord. His Spirit might come to you, and that he may send the Spirit, the Messiah appointed for you, that is Jesus, who must remain in heaven. And how long is he going to remain in heaven for? Until the time of that God has restored everything, a time of universal restoration. Now, I would like Professor Brian Cox to know there's a time of universal restoration. The restoration of the universe, the regeneration. This little piece here, universal restoration that God announced long ago through his holy prophets. So this has always been the plan, the regeneration, the renewal, and the glorification of the creation. Jesus once mentioned this, and I assume he mentioned it a number of times, but you can read in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 28. Jesus said to them, and he's speaking to Peter and the gang, truly I tell you, at the regeneration of all things, when the Son of Man is seated on the throne of his glory, you have followed me, will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who's left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last and the last will be first. Jesus mentions the time of that word there, and my Bible says the renewal of all things at the regeneration of all things. You know when a fire goes through and blackens and burns the whole thing and you think, that's it, she's over, all wrecked. Well, then the little green shoots start to appear and the rain comes and so on, and that's regeneration. We are being called in our hearts to find joy and peace in believing the plan of God. And the plan of God is the regeneration, the renewal, and then the glorification of all things. How about that? And by faith, by believing, by coming and trusting in Christ to carry forward what he began in the beginning together with the Father and Spirit, to finish that which is planned and bring it to completion. That's where we are now. The book of Revelation is a wonderful book in that it tells us about the battle and the struggle of the powers of evil trying to press against what God's wonderful plan is. And so when you and I know that plan, the other place you can read is in Colossians or Ephesians, you read that before the foundation of the world, Peter tells us, there was a lamb that was planned and slain, slaughtered, before the foundation of the world. The centrepiece was the death and resurrection of Jesus. And here, the Spirit brings us to put our eyes upon that death and resurrection and marvel at what it's all about. And one of my favourite things, when I was in Tasmania, I had a fairly older, smaller congregation. One of my students, so because of that, I used to be able to be free to teach scripture in schools, and I had about 8 classes, and they went for about 45 minutes. So we'd have a good talk about the gospel and Christian things. And one little boy near Easter once, he said, "Now, Mr. Fagater," he said, "you know, when Jesus died, and then he rose again, yeah." He said, "When did he die the second time?" And I said to him, "He didn't." Well, his jaw nearly hit the floor. His whole life in that moment was confronted with something that he'd never, ever thought about. That is the task of our people, form this kind of bubble, and that's how they understand the world, and this is it, and this is what it does. But one man, Jesus, planned, given to the world, defeats death, overcomes it on behalf of us all. That man risen from the grave changes the thinking of the human race. There's our hope. There's our future. Do you want to know what your future's like? Well, you'll have a body of glory like his glorious body. Oh, it's a spook. He said, no, a spook does not have flesh and bones as I've got. So he said, come and have a touch and see. Oh, so there's pointing us to the future. Here's, as James told us, here's the last Adam, the second Adam, the true Adam. And he's got dominion over the whole of creation and dominion over death. And you, through faith, are in Christ. And so you have the same destiny. How about that? It's pretty good to me. That's the plan of God, that we should anticipate and look forward to that. And one other bright mind is a man by the name of Steven Weinberg. He won a Nobel laureate for physics. And he says, the more we understand, the more the universe seems comprehensible. In other words, we understand stuff, black holes. He says, the more it also seems pointless. He just thinks it's pointless. I mean, he's got this fine mind, he can understand a whole lot of stuff, but hasn't been humbled enough just for the moment to recognise that there's a creator and to hear the word. So you and I have a task, which is it's a twofold task. Three maybe. But the first one is, and this is one of the verses in the Bible which is most important, is Genesis 1 verse 26. Every human being has been given this. God blessed the couple, male and female together. He blessed them and he said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. And then he goes on to explain what the plant life's for and everything else. And that task for humanity has never been taken away. You and I are called in our lives to be fruitful. Lots of people are fruitful and people who don't believe even are fruitful and are taking part in that mandate. But it's with a view. Having dominion means genuinely caring for oversight and caring for the whole of the creation. That's the goal, and you and I eternally will share in that plan. The second part is in Ephesians 3, 8 to 10. And I love this passage because Paul just describes what his ministry is. He's happily suffers to share this because he knows that in that process, as Christ suffered to bring the truth to a human race who didn't want to hear, he's happy to share in that same process so that others might come to believe and know. And he says, although I'm the very least of all the saints, Ephesians 3:8, this grace was given to me to bring to the nations, the Gentiles, the news of the boundless riches of Christ and to make everyone see what is the plan. The plan of the mystery that's been hidden for ages in God, who did what? Who created all things. The plan of the mystery is for the creation to reach its goal. And so that through the church, who else knows this? Can the Buddhist tell people about the plan of God? Well, only if they know Christ and the plan of God. So our task is, it's not life goes round and round and round and then nothing. Not that it burns out and then the planet's gone and she's all over, folks. No. It is destined for glory. And so this is to make, through the church, to make known the wisdom of God in all its rich variety. Everything that the creation's about centrally is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And to make known to the rulers and the authorities in heavenly places, the whole of the creation to know this. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God, we now know, and in boldness and confidence through faith in him. So he's praying, don't lose heart, because they're beating me up. Don't lose heart over my sufferings for you. They're your glory. It's you sharing in what Paul's sharing in and the outshining of all the moral truth of what God's been about will eventually come to, we'll see it all clearly. Amen. Now, as I just think through what our task is in sort of seeing the plan of God, it's actually that you join in with that plan. So I used to think that, I don't know where I got this idea, I just used to think that the church has to preach the message to get people saved, and then they preach the message to more people to get them saved, who preach the message to more people of them, and then they get saved. But, you know, it was with great relief that I found that was taught, understood to understand that you've actually been saved back into the purposes and plan of God, so that whatever it is he's called you to share in, whether it's to be a mathematician or a farmer or a fisherman or, what you know, fisherwoman, whatever you're called to do, you can participate in the plan of God and at the same time bear witness to the one who's made you for this very purpose. My co-worker up in Clare, Nikki, she had this job of teaching children in, do you know the Mainly Music? You ever been to Mainly Music? Oh, it's one of the best things ever. Mainly Music. And she was always enthusiastic about it, and at Easter they'd teach the little children that are sort of less than preschoolers, and they'd have times where they'd talk about plants when they'd talk about planets and the sun and the moon and everything that God's made, and they'd sing these songs and have bouncy fun. And she so enjoyed her job that one little kid said one day, he said, when I grow up, I want to do your job. Because he could see it was just filled with purpose and joy in helping little guys get the hang of what life was about. And that is what it is about, is whatever your task is to bear witness along the way to the living life of Christ in you and where it's all headed. So, you know, we're brought into union with Christ. The Holy Spirit brings us into union with Christ. We're bonded together with him in all that he's doing now. We were bonded together with him when he died, we died. We were bonded to him first, even when he was crucified, we were crucified with him. The old us was finished. Then we were buried. Then we were raised with him. Then we were ascended with him and seated in heavenly places with him. And Paul even says, you whom he justified, he's also glorified. It's all guaranteed. How about that? Because you're in union with Christ through faith, and he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. And then the fun only just begun. How about that? Renewal, regeneration, glorification. I tell this story just once more because I'm just going to leave it hanging a bit, really. But someone once said to Mr. Bingham, who used to teach these the Bible college here and these schools and then things, he said to him, so he said, I suppose all the planets and galaxies are for the age to come. And Mr. Bingham thought, oh, another kooky question from someone. Went home, just thought, oh, that's a funny thing to ask. And then he thought, well, they might be right. How about that? What if that was the case? It's either that, or they're like our Christmas decorations at Christmas time. There's 2 million galaxies just twinkling away to remind us how good Christ is and the glory of the incarnation. He was coming among us. Whatever they're for. God is purposive, and the scripture tells us, Proverbs 16:4, that he says he's made everything for its own purpose. How about that? Oh, to know him, to love him, to enjoy him forever and share in the eternal plan for humanity, a redeemed humanity. When we've, John Newton tried to put it in words when he says, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first began. Oh, I'm excited. I don't use that word much. Everyone else does, but anyway. I'm a little, you know, stirred by that thought. Okay, understanding the plan of God, we anticipate Jesus coming, appearing. This all comes together when the next part of his plan, now's the battle, but the battle will end. And at the close of the battle, the chief leader of the battle will arrive, the God of peace and God of all comfort. Our Lord Jesus will wonderfully arrive, his coming appearing. And at that coming appearing, the whole lot of evil's finished, sorted out. How did he do that? Well, you tell me how he created the world and I'll tell you how he did that. But he, the same one who began all things, brings a final end. He's already triumphed over the powers of evil and his life, the power of an incorruptible life. So, and Jesus issues these notes of warning. He tells some parables to remind us that this is serious business. Get on board. Get on board. Have faith in God. Join in the plan. Don't be, well, as the those book series. They're not that good, but called Left Behind. You know, don't be left behind in the plan, put it that way, because the plan is regeneration, glorification, and incorporated into, Peter says, we'll be partakers of the divine nature, which means that we will share in the triune God's intimate fellowship. How about that? And all that they've been about. Oh. If you know these things, then you prepare for what is the telos. When you read in the Bible and then comes the end, it's usually a form of that Greek word which is telos, the end. It's really the goal. It's not, don't think of and just be a kind of an end times person. Oh, well, the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer, but she's all coming to an end. Well, it's coming to a goal, and that is that there'll be no more crying and pain and so on, and there'll be joy and righteousness and happiness and gladness, peace. So that's the goal. That's where we're headed, towards the goal. And keep thinking about that goal. Jesus is wanting us to be prepared for it, and that the whole of the creation. So the book of Revelation helps us in that way. There's a little mini revelation. If you can't read it all, just read 1 Corinthians 15, 24 to 28. Then comes the end time, or the goal, when the whole plan is handed to the Father, and God becomes everything to everyone. How about that? Well, yeah. So that's where we're headed, and if you know that goal, you can participate in it by faith. Even when you feel miserable, you're still part of it. You're still in union with Christ. Even when you don't feel much like doing anything, you're still in union with Christ through faith. And even when you're old and cranky and don't like the world you're living in, you're still in Christ. And even when you can't do anything because your hearing's gone and your speech is gone and all that, you're still in Christ. And you're still anticipating the good purpose he's had for you, which is to bring you to glory, to bring you home. And now, this is all part of the Holy Spirit filling us and filling. We'll learn later about the Spirit's been poured out upon all flesh in order that we might all, wherever faith is present, come in, come on, come in, and be participants there. As I close, I'd just like to read a couple of verses from Ephesians. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Anyone got any questions? If you didn't get it, you must be born again. You can't see the kingdom unless you're born from above. So just go out straight afterwards and sort it out with the Lord and be born from above, and then you'll see it. Okay. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we worship you and love you and thank you for your wonderful plan. Lord, we pray for our community that they will know and join in this wonderful plan. And Lord, we know in the face of death our weakness, we know our incapacity to do anything about our sins. We thank you that you've taken them all away. We thank you that you've conquered death for us. And we thank you that you've filled us with the Spirit, the eternal Spirit, that we might have hope. Lord, we pray for our world to have hope. We think of some of our friends who are pretty sad and some people who don't feel like they want to live because they don't see any hope. Please, Lord, bring this wonderful hope, we pray, to more and more through your wonderful message of Jesus' death and resurrection. Hear our prayers, Lord, as we share through prayer in what you are doing, our wonderful Maker. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.